You'll take your Bibles tonight and open them with me. Ugh, quit knocking stuff around here. To Romans chapter 12. Book of Romans is one of my favorite books. Love going through the study of it. So in keeping with what I was saying earlier about God's love, and we've been talking over the past few weeks about worshiping Him the way that we ought to worship Him, and it all comes back and centers on this very thing, sincere love. Now, the difference between love and sincere is what? Sincere love and love, what is what? Sincere. Right? Because you can say you love somebody. It's easy to say, right? Man, I love you. Easy to say. Sincere love doesn't just say it. It's all a part of who you are and what you do. Exactly right. So, Romans chapter 12, I want to begin reading in verse 9. Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. But on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, I come to you tonight, Lord. And I just pray that as we go through these elementary, literally elementary things in your word that are so profound and so difficult for us to grasp and put into effect many times. I just pray that as we go through this tonight, Lord, and as we talk about sincere love, you'll show us what we need to see. But not only show us, Father, help us to be willing to change, to do whatever it takes to truly love like you love. Lord, we're not perfect, but we've been perfected in you. And Lord, you want to use us to be love to the people all around us. They've seen enough hatred. They've seen enough discord, even from churches. They've seen enough of that. What they really need to see is your love in us. And Lord, I pray that as we talk about that tonight, through your word, you will show us what you want us to do. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the very first thing he says is love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Isn't that interesting? He uses love and hate in the same verse. And the reason is because in comparison, we ought to hate evil. And I think we kind of put up with it. How many times, we're going to get pretty stepping in your own business type stuff tonight, including my own. How many times have you been watching a show and they start using foul language and they start talking, you know, and you think, well, you know, I'll just kind of not listen to it until they get to the good part. If it doesn't bother us, then something's not right. In fact, as much as we are to love each other, we are to hate what this world stands for. Not the world, but what the world stands for. We need to hate the right thing. Too often our hatred for sin crosses over into hatred for the sinner. And I got to be honest with you. Sometimes when I'm watching stuff go on around me and I see people doing something and I know it's wrong, it makes me want to just grab them and slap them around and, you know. But the fact is that what I'm supposed to do is to love them. Love the sinner, hate the sin. And for us, that's difficult because we so many times don't know how to separate that out. We must love them with God's love. In fact, he uses this word, cling to what is good. Cling. Here's a good example of that. You ever had somebody walk up to you and pull something off your back and you see it's a dryer sheet? We don't use them anymore, but every once in a while, if you don't know, you have one hanging off your back or in the back of your pants or whatever, and somebody says, hey, you got a dryer sheet on you, because it clings to you. It wants to hang on. It's kind of like a leaf that gets wet. It's hard to get it off your shoe or whatever. It just clings. We are to cling, the Scripture tells us. Look at what it says. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and what? Cling to what is good. Well, if we don't know what is good, then we can't cling to it, right? Okay? So first of all, we need to know what is good, and that is God Himself and everything that He says. So we've got to love people with God's love, and we've got to cling to His love in the midst of them acting lost, because that's what they are. I remember a long time ago, I actually played golf on the college team at Baylor. I used to be halfway good, but time does things to yourself, you know. I did stuff to myself. But anyway, but I remember that when I used to play golf, I would sometimes just go out to the golf course, and whoever was out there, I'd just pick up with them and play, you know. You know, if there was a single there or whatever, they'd say, hey, you want to join us? Sure, you know. It's not long until we're down the fairway a little ways or whatever. One of them hits a random shot, and it's terrible. And what's the first thing they do? They start cursing, right? And even using God's name in vain many times. And this has happened to me multiple times. If they don't know me and I don't know them, we play for a little while. And after a while, sooner or later, one of them says, hey, Rod, what do you do? I go, oh, I'm the pastor at Calvary Baptist Church. And they go, whoop. I'm so sorry. I should have never said that stuff in front of you. And I said, why? You said it in front of God. Right? I'm not God. You see, I don't get mad at them for acting lost because they're lost. Most of this world is acting lost because they're lost. And I can hate their sin because I know it's wrong. But I can't hate them. I have to love them like God loves them. And that's a huge thing. Because it is in that loving them, no matter what they are going through or doing or saying or acting, it's through that love that God will open up an opportunity for me to share. So I wear this armband. I don't know, y'all probably seen it before. I may have even told you what it is, but it says Living the Dream. I've had this on now for probably 7 years. I've never taken it off in 7 years. But I wear it in honor of a guy that I met while I was in Albuquerque. He was the head pro at Paco Ridge Golf Club. And he was about as rough around the edges as a person could be. I mean, he got mad. He'd chew people out. He whatever. But I worked with him in the golf shop there. And we started getting kind of close, talking and everything. And anyway, to make a long story short, he found out that he was going to have to go in for some testing because they thought he might have some kind of colon issue going on. And sure enough, after his testing, he came back the next day to the shop and he was very down. And he said, they have found out that I have stage 4 colon cancer. And he said, the rate of life for people who have stage 4 colon cancer is about 3 to 6 months. He said, I can do chemo, I can do a lot of other things, but I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, the doctor wants me to come in and they're going to go in and try to remove as much as they possibly can. They're going to have surgery. And I said, man, whenever that surgery is, I'll be there. He said, you mean you come to the hospital? I went, yeah. I'd like to come and pray with you before you go into surgery. He goes, that'd be awesome. You know, this is a guy who never talked about God unless he was using his name in vain. He didn't have anything to do with God. He wasn't a bad person. He was just lost. And so I went to the hospital that morning, got there early, and he was getting ready in the prep room and went in, and his wife was there. She's a sweet Christian lady, and she'd been praying for Bob for a long time. And we were standing there talking, and I said, well, Bob, before you go in today, I just want to pray for you, if that's okay. And he said, I would love for you to pray for me, but more than that, I would love for you to tell me how to know that I can go to heaven when I die. And so I shared the gospel with him. He accepted the Lord. I prayed with him. He went into surgery, came back out. They had a little ray of light in the whole thing and thought, well, maybe it wasn't as bad as they had first thought. Long story short, for about 6 years he battled stage 4 cancer and he passed away about 3 years ago. Well, it'll be 4 years in January. But I could have distanced myself away from him, and I'm not saying I'm always do the best thing, because a lot of times I do the wrong thing. But this time I did the right thing. And I know one day I'll get to see him again. And I can't wait for that. It's going to be awesome. But I wear this to remind myself to not give up on anybody, no matter what they're going through, no matter how they're acting. They're just acting lost because they're lost. So Paul is trying to remind us of that, as he says that we are to love what it be. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Look at what Leviticus chapter 19, you're not going very fast, you guys got to speed up a little bit. Leviticus 19 verse 17, do not hate your brother in your heart. I wonder how many times we've done that. And we allow bitterness to start creeping in. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You've heard that it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do we need to stop there for a while? Okay. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those that love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to mess up. But it means in what we choose to do, we choose the right thing. We choose the right thing. We got to hate the right thing. We got to hate the results of the bad. Deuteronomy 12, verse 11 says this, then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you would bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. Now listen, folks, the reason this is there is because many times we cling on to things thinking that they're important, and they're not. They're things. They're going to go away. But we devalue life. Look at this society. We devalue life. I mean, it's even okay in some states to kill a baby after it's born. And you think that's terrible, but killing the baby before it's born is just as bad. So what happens, the results of what this world is going through and the direction that this world is going is that we devalue life, we have a loss of conscience, because what used to be bad isn't bad anymore. And in fact, it's okay. And pretty soon it's going to be celebrated. We've lost our moral compass. We don't know the right direction in many cases in this country and in this world. Well, who's going to show them? And who's going to tell them? And who's going to mention to them that God's Word is our standard and God Himself is the direction that we ought to be going? We got to hate the right thing and we got to love the other things. We also have to love by honoring others. Look at what it says in verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. That word honor means to lift other people up. Honorable mention. The Greek word for honor is timeo, which means to put great value. You know, we need to speak up and we need to tell people that they're worthwhile. They've done studies over and over and over and over again of what makes the difference between a person that excels in their life and a person that doesn't. And it typically goes back to how they were brought up. And the ones that were brought up being told they're not worth anything and you're never going to make it and you're always going to mess up and you're the biggest goofball I've ever seen and whatever, they're the ones that don't excel. Because they begin to believe the lie. And that's what Satan does, is he begins to lie to them. Because they are just as valuable as the greatest leaders in this world, as the most intelligent people who've ever lived. They're just as valuable. And yet, we tend to devalue them. We tend to put them into, like, different categories. But we are to honor people, to give them great value. We need to speak up. We need to tell someone they're worthwhile. And daily, we need to be doing this all the time. It should become a daily part of our lives. Why do we withhold that which will heal? Why do we do that? You see, we have it in us to offer healing words to people. We have it in us to offer healing actions towards people. But we don't do it. I'm not saying not always, but so many more times we have the opportunities than we take. We need to love by hating what is evil. We need to love by honoring others. And verses 11 and 12 tell us that we need to love by having zeal. Look at what it says in verses 11 and 12. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. And the question is, zeal is, are you hot or are you lukewarm? Well, we know what happens to lukewarm people, right? Jesus is going to spit them out of his mouth. Tom, you like coffee. I know that because you drink it quite often. Well, multiple times during the day, right? And you like it hot, don't you? I like it hot. But if you let it sit there for a while and then take a drink of it, it's like, yeah, no, not good anymore. Not good anymore. I can just imagine how it feels to God. When somebody comes to know the Lord, man, they're on fire. They're excited. They're ready to go. 6 months later, after they've been around everybody else, they're lukewarm, just like everybody else. The Greek word is zeotis, which means to bring to a boiling point. Fervent in prayer. I don't know if we would know what to do if people started acting like that. But it would make a huge difference. If people saw that fervency in our lives. A boiling point Christianity. The question is, are we on fire for Him or not? You can only answer that question for yourself. So when you begin to love like God loves, and you begin to have love that is full of zeal, it will cause you to serve Him like we ought to serve Him. Because He's the focal point. And the reason that's so important is once we get our eyes fixed on Him, it's like if you shot a laser beam at a huge gym, what does it do? It refracts and goes everywhere. When we keep our eyes on God, then He says, yes, now that I have your attention, and now that I have your fervency, and now that I see your zeal, I want to shoot that light to that person right there. The one you've been working next to, or the one that you see on a multiple basis, or the one that you know you should talk to, but you haven't yet, or whatever it is. He will begin to point out people. Others are always His focus. He's always looking, desiring that people will come to know Him. Are we willing to do whatever He calls us to do? Or do we kind of have a group A of things that we do if He asks us, a group B, maybe, group C, I'm never doing that. Now, that's pretty straightforward, but really, honestly, that's kind of how we all act. Because sometimes we know God wants us to do something, and we defer to plan B. Yeah, I know that's a good one, but how about if I do this? Will that work? If people follow God by their own power, the result is they will burn out. Because God's power is limitless. Right? And as long as we abide in Him and allow Him to do what He needs to do through us, what did Jesus say in John 15:5? I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You have no power. You're cut off. God's power is limitless. Lastly tonight, we should love with hospitality. Look at what it says in verse 13. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. My mom used to tell me all the time, it's nice to share. Right?
Yeah.
Did your mom ever tell you that? But we tend to be greedy. We have the what's mine is mine attitude. Right? Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where the thieves cannot bring in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do we treasure the treasure? The treasure is God. Do we treasure Him? We need to share with both those who know and those who don't know. We need to share what God's doing in our life with brothers and sisters so that we can encourage one another and build each other up and spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and all the more as we see that day approaching. Right? We need to be doing that. But we also need to be sharing with people who don't know. God's people need to take care of each other. We need to help meet each other's needs. The Greek word here is philoxena. It means to love those we don't know. People you don't know, we're to love them just like we are to love each other. And you see, it might be easy for us to say, oh, so-and-so's sick and they're going to be in bed for a week and they're going to need somebody to take meals over to them in the evening. And we get a whole list of people who, you know, one takes on Monday and one takes on Tuesday. And we do that. But if our next door neighbor who's lost, who's cursed at us across the fence once or twice, if our next door neighbor is down, what do we do? The same thing. We love them no matter what. No matter what. Practice makes perfect. Look at what 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 says. The end of all things is near. You believe that? Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that you can pray. And above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You see, folks, it really boils down to one thing. It's either about you and me, or it's about him. When it's about him, all the things we need to do, we can do. When it's about us, all the things we should do, we'll never do. We might have good intentions. Good intentions don't fulfill anything. Let our love be real, sincere. Father, I pray that you'll help us sincerely love others, including those that we don't even like, because they act lost, because they're lost. And Lord, I have to admit to you, Father, that sometimes when I see people doing such terrible things, it makes me want to not like them. But you've called us to love them anyway. Because you do. And you paid for all of their sins just like you paid for all of my sins. And they just don't know. They've never experienced that love. We are your mouthpiece. We are your ambassadors. We are commissioned. We are to go and tell. And we can do all of those things as a good soldier. But the best soldier will be one who goes out in the love of God and begins to love on people no matter what. And that kind of love will draw people to you. So help us love, Father. Help us love in Jesus' name. Amen.